Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we heard about blessings and curses or woes, things that were bad that happened to people if they weren't blessed. Today we hear that word again, but it's in a fashion that we might not take too easily, because God gives us some commands today that are a little bit difficult. Let me read to you again the first paragraph of our text in Luke today. Jesus speaks, "But I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other. And from one who takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes your goods, do not demand that they be returned. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." There are 9 verbs in those 2 or 3 verses. Those verbs are each one a command, and each one a little bit difficult for us as we think about them. And then Jesus goes on with some more things. He says, if you love those who love you, if you do good to those who do good to you, if you lend to those who will pay you back, what good is that to you? How do you get any credit for that? And then he says, rather than all of those things, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to do good. I want you to lend, expecting nothing in return. I want you to be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. And then he graciously answers the question, well, why should we do that? Because he says, you will demonstrate that you are sons of the Most High. You will be setting an example. Jesus tells us to do these things so that people will recognize God's children when they see them. And that's not all. There's even some more yet. In verse 37, we read, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. And then parenthetically, and it will be given to you not just in a small amount, but he says, in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For with the measure that you use to measure others, you will be measured. In doing all of those things, Jesus says, you're going to get a lot in return. Not just a box that has stuff tossed into it, but we're going to shake the box and we're going to make things settle and we're going to pour some more in there. In fact, there's going to be so much that's going to be heaped over the top. There'll be a bulge on the top, a heaping amount of what will be returned to you. And the idea of it being placed in your lap is that in those days they gathered things by taking their tunic and putting it in their lap, and then you poured things into the tunic. And so you could put a lot of grain or wheat or whatever. And then he says, don't judge or be critical, but rather forgive. And why should we do that? Because you will be judged by the criteria with which you judge others. These are some pretty challenging commands for us to do. And when I read them, I was convicted. And when I thought about these words through the week, I saw a lot of examples that I did wrong, a lot of things that I judged people. We are so quick to judge. As I thought more about this, I don't do what Jesus tells me to do, and what I do is what he tells me not to do. Certainly, I myself judged people this week. And I found out how often we do that really without thinking. When you see someone who looks different from us, how quickly we judge them according to our standards. I'm guilty of condemning others simply because they look different. I'm guilty of despising people who I perceive to dislike me or have something against me. As you heard those words, perhaps you were convicted as well. Do you judge too quickly? Do you dislike people who are simply different, who look different, who dress different? Perhaps you even have a grudge against people who have different political beliefs than you do. Jesus' first command today is to love our enemies. And you might say, but my enemies are not close to me. They're not people that I really need to worry about. But the word translated as enemies are simply people who disagree with you, who are near to you, who may be a little hostile or say bad things about you. We're not talking about enemies like somebody who would like to kill you. And all the time we are reading these words and hearing these words, we're thinking, I don't like this very much. This is really hard. Because you see, we would rather hate our enemies, or people who we at least even dislike. We would like to hurt them, maybe not physically, but at least emotionally. We'd like to see them suffer because we perceive that they just deserve to suffer. They're bad people. And worse yet, when they would hurt us, we would reciprocate with even more violence. We would strike back harder. That as opposed to turning the other cheek or at least de-escalating the situation. For those of you who watch football, the player who gets called for the foul of fighting, or I think they call it unsportsmanlike conduct, is the second one who is seen by the referee. Because the first one does something, pushes maybe, and the second guy tries to blow him away. And that's what gets caught. And then we escalate the situation. Now they get up and they start with a fist fight. Jesus tells us, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do what they talked about in Jesus' time. A guy by the name of Lysias was a speechwriter in Greece, and he stated the Hellenistic view of the concept of what we call reciprocity, or striking back harder. You hit me once, I'm going to hit you twice. You hit me twice, I'm going to hit you three times harder. Lysias said this hundreds of thousands of years ago. I consider it established that one should do harm to one's enemies and be of service to one's friends. Well, this is all a lot of bad news. And so the question then I begged of myself was, what's the good news? Is there any good news here? We all have trouble loving our enemy. We find praying for someone who hates us or who we would consider an enemy to be rather challenging. We just don't like to forgive someone who has done us wrong. And so I ask again, where is the good news? The good news is that God is for us. Jesus has risen from the dead in his human nature, and in that process has brought salvation to the world. And so in that process, we are forgiven. The Old Testament reading is a good example of forgiveness. You remember the story of Joseph. His brothers sent him off in a caravan to Egypt. They sold him into slavery. And finally, years and years later, they come to Egypt to get some grain because there's a drought in the land. And Joseph recognizes them, and he begins asking them questions, and they are really concerned because how does this ruler in Egypt know about our father? And then Joseph finally says, but I am your brother, and don't worry, I forgive you. What you intended for bad, God intended for good. Jesus calls us to lives which reflect God's mercy and forgiveness, as we read in the text as well. That means that our lives can be blessed. We can love others. God is for us, and He overcomes our God problem. We and the world are still broken. We don't like the idea that we have to die, but it's part of our life. For those of you who went to the funeral, to Tom Awesome's funeral last Saturday, you heard Bonnie say several times, "I don't like this." And we don't like this, but it is what it is. And we are broken, and so is the world. And because of that brokenness, God will call us all to task someday. But because God is on our side, we need not feel as if we are doomed forever. The good news is that God, in His mercy, gives us faith to believe in Him. Jesus' words are not necessarily only prescriptive, but they are also descriptive as well. While He tells us what we should do and what we should not do, He also graciously explains what happens if we obey in a non-judgmental way that He has. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we become God's children, and the disobedience that we have here is overcome and overtaken by Jesus' obedience to go to the cross. Jesus has taken away our disobedience and replaced it with His obedience. And so the death that we die is only a temporary thing, because Jesus has risen from the dead, and therefore we who are baptized into His death shall rise someday as well. God was at work in Joseph's life, and when he was sold into slavery, because of God's work, Joseph was able to embrace his brothers, to forgive them. Because of God's work, they wept and they were finally able to reconcile. And even in their simple attempt to get rid of Joseph, God was saving lives, not only of his brothers, but of the Egyptians and Joseph's family as well. And God is still at work today. Even in the most difficult of situations, not the least of which is the hearts of believers. Because of His grace and mercy, God can restore broken relationships. He can touch your heart and help you forgive no matter what. He can touch your heart and point you to away from judgmentalism and remind you when you are being judgmental of others. He can even help you love and pray for your enemies. Try it sometime. With God's help, you can keep your words and your thoughts soft and tender, because you never know when you may have to eat them. Amen.